Walmart has Straight Talk Wireless, so I can keep doing me, like hitting up all my friends for a last-minute study sesh, or curating the best pop playlist you've ever heard in your life, and even editing all my socials to keep up with what's new. Oh yeah, I look good. Post it. Which all in all suits my study poppy main character vibes to a T, period. Find and shop your fave tech at Walmart.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What is going on, Bills Mafia? How are you feeling today? It is the day after Thanksgiving. It is Black Friday, officially the Christmas season. And we are coming off the Buffalo Bills on a national stage, defeating the Dallas Cowboys. And not in ugly fashion. Not in a fashion that would make us think or believe for a second that somehow there's things to fix or things to still take care of. No, this team went into Dallas, a team that is leading its division, the NFC East currently. Stacked roster almost from top to bottom. They are a team that Jerry Jones has, since he has taken over ownership of the Dallas Cowboys, has built that team the right way. He has built that team through the trenches. If you remember correctly, if you're of the older generation, if you are old enough to remember when the Bills were going to the Super Bowls, when they played against the Dallas Cowboys had, without a doubt, enough for me, they had the greatest offensive line that has probably been assembled in modern pro football history, to the point that for me, and I make this statement a lot, and it upsets people when I make it, you know, I'm not completely entirely sure that if Emmitt Smith had been drafted to any other team, whether it be the Chiefs or the Browns or maybe even the Lions, that Emmitt Smith would be currently the NFL's all-time leading rusher in yards and be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Emmitt Smith had wiggle, and Emmitt Smith was talented. You can't take away from Emmitt what Emmitt was or what Emmitt did for one second. I mean, the kid was without a doubt beyond, you just can't argue the talent level that Emmitt was, but you can argue and you can probably make some sort of a distinction about who Emmitt would have been or could have been if for some reason he had been drafted to any other team. I remember as a kid, not a kid, I was a teenager. I had just graduated high school. I remember watching Emmitt Smith run behind that Dallas offensive line. And I remember seeing holes open up that my 280-pound, 60-year-old uncle could have ran through with the football and got 10 yards. They were just a different team. And Jerry Jones, as he has assembled this roster, it's the same. He builds his teams through the trenches. So our team actually went in there. The Buffalo Bills went into Dallas last night. As you know, you watched the game and dominated that Dallas Cowboys defense. Now, there's clearly some issues with Dallas. Who knows what is going on? There was a lot of distractions this week. It was nice to see. I was championing the distractions, asking for more, and then we got more. And then somewhere around, it was Wednesday, I think, in a press conference, Amari Cooper was asked just about his contributions to the offense, to which he responded, you know, it's hard to dominate when they don't throw you the football. I was like, yes, please. More of this. More. With the little Satan fingers, like, you know, tapping each other in front of the face. Yes, more distractions. More distractions. And it worked. That is a football team with issues. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to start this show utterly confused by the Dallas Cowboys game plan. You've got Ezekiel Elliott on your football team. You're playing against a football team that has trouble or has shown some trouble, to include yesterday, has shown trouble stopping the run up the middle. And you know, the one thing I did not do was get a stat on Zeke's, on what Zeke ran for yesterday. So give me 2 seconds as I'm looking this up. How do I want to find this? But it's incredible to me as I'm Google searching while I'm talking to you. It's incredible to me the game plan that the Dallas Cowboys put together. I mean, yes, Dak Prescott is the leading passer in the NFL by far and away. He's the number one quarterback in the NFL. He's doing things that other quarterbacks are not doing. They have a, I don't want to say a prolific offense, but they've got a great offense. And oh, by the way, they have Ezekiel Elliott on their football team. On their football team, Ezekiel Elliott, arguably the best running back in the NFL next to Saquon Barkley or somebody of that nature. Yesterday, Ezekiel Elliott had 12 carries for 71 yards. Let me do some math. Sorry for the abruption. Almost six. I don't even know why I want to tell you this. Almost 6 yards a carry. I think Dak Prescott uncorked the long ball 6 times in the first half alone. Maybe not six. It felt like once a series, if not once within every 5 or 6 downs, he was chucking the ball 30 yards down the field, 40 yards down the field. It was very reminiscent to me to what the Bills did against the Browns. The Bills, who are averaging 6 yards a carry on the ground, they've got a young, kind of a hidden stud in Devin Singletary. They've got one of the greatest running backs of all time in Frank Gore. Going in to play the Browns, the Cleveland Browns, who are one of the worst defenses against the run, and the Bills don't run the football. That's pretty much what we saw from the Cowboys yesterday. And it doesn't matter at this point. For me, I don't care. I'm happy with it. If you're going to make stupid decisions or make stupid choices, then, and I've got a football team that's going to capitalize on it for the first time in 20 years, yes, please. Give me more of that nonsense, which is literally what the Cowboys gave us yesterday. I'm just so confused by what, and it was, they came out and the Bills, you know, if we're going to do a game recap, the Cowboys came out hot. The Cowboys absolutely came out, and they punched the Bills in the mouth early. 7-0, got up right away. And this isn't the first time we've seen this from the Bills. There's, I don't remember who said it, but somebody in one of the post games last night or on Twitter last night said that sometimes it seems like McDermott and Frazier go into these games and kind of take a first shot from the opposing team's offense. Like, they just kind of sit and wait and see how they're going to jab, and then how they're going to punch. And then once they get kind of a feel for what you as an offense are going to do, then they do their best to clamp down and do what it is that they do best. And so they make some adjustments early in the game. And we saw that again last night. The Cowboys came out, were very efficient. People were playing. Dak was a monster at times in that game last night. He played really well in that first drive, the first couple drives. They punched the Bills in the mouth. They got up by 7 points, and then it was like, it's over, right? We're done. We win. And lo and behold, the Buffalo Bills are still standing on the other sideline, the opposite sideline, realizing that they've got 50 minutes of football left to play. And the Dallas Cowboys pretty much were headed to the locker room to eat turkey at that point. But that offensive game plan, by and large, for the Cowboys, was just perplexing to me. It was very, very strange. But I sit here this morning, Victory Friday, Black Friday. We'll just call this a red, white, and blue Friday. It's a Black Friday for the Dallas Cowboys and the Dallas Cowboy fans. But I sit here with you on my third or fourth cup of coffee. I've already picked through some of the leftovers. And we do turkey right. So yesterday we deep fried a turkey, a whole turkey. We also smoked two turkey breasts. And my wife bought an extra turkey that we're going to deep fry sometime in the next couple days, because turkey goes on sale during the holidays and we like to have leftovers. And as much as a lot of people don't like turkey because your turkey's dry, that means you're doing turkey wrong. Turkey should not be dry when it's finished, and you can have leftover turkey and have it be delicious and juicy and fantastic for days. So I've already picked through some of the turkey leftovers. I'm on my third or fourth cup of coffee. I'm sitting up in my office, the world headquarters for the Overreaction Sports, which, by the way, I never identified who you're listening to. That's how good at this I am. Like 14 episodes in, that's how I'm such a pro at this point. I literally forgot to introduce myself. So welcome in officially 10 minutes into the show. That's how excited I am. 10 minutes into the show to the Overreaction Sports Podcast. This is an Overreaction Friday, although it's a little bit flipped because we are coming off of a football game last night. I am your host, Joe Miller, and you can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. That handle again at Joe Miller Wired. And I love interaction. I say that all the time. So I would love for you to just chat me up on Twitter, whether it's on the Overreaction Sports handle or on my actual personal handle at Joe Miller Wired. But I sit here this morning with you on this red, white, and blue Victory Friday, a little shocked, a little stunned. It's a little surreal. You know, there's something to be said for what we have come to expect from the Buffalo Bills in primetime. There's a stat out there. I don't know the exact stat. My dad said it to me last night. It's like 1 in 35. The Bills on a national stage or a national primetime football game are 1 in 35, which includes any Monday nights they've been on, any Sunday nights they've been on, any Thursday nights they've been on, which there haven't been many. Any 4 o'clock nationally, like the game of the week, you know, usually against the Patriots, because that's just what the NFL has always done to us. The Buffalo Bills, going all the way back to my childhood, always had an ability to lay an egg in a national primetime game. I remember specifically being 18, 19 years old during the football, like the Super Bowl years, the Bills would be on Monday Night Football against the Chiefs. I remember the Chiefs game like it was yesterday. We lost 33-3. The Buffalo Bills, with all that talent in the Super Bowl years, lost to the Christian Okoye Chiefs on Monday Night Football 33-3. And I remember being furious as a little kid. The amount of times we lost to the Steelers in primetime, even back. The Bills have just always done a very good job, and you can put it right down to the Super Bowl. When the national, everybody in the world, and you know that my hands are waving in the air, everybody in the world is watching our Buffalo Bills. That's when, for some reason, whether it's the Indian burial ground on the stadium grounds or just bad luck, bad karma, the stage is just too big because we're such a small city. I don't know what it is, but it seems like in my lifetime, anytime the Buffalo Bills were on that gigantic, everybody is focused on you national stage, the Buffalo Bills would come out and be a shell of themselves and lay the biggest egg you ever saw on a football field. So I'm going to be honest, I'm a little shocked this morning. I said all week coming into this on Twitter that I felt like we matched up pretty well against the Cowboys. I got asked by Rick, my buddy on Twitter, you know, what position groups I thought the Bills might be better in. He's not a Bills fan, and he was just asking me. He's always doing these temperature checks with me to find out if I'm getting a little, you know, crazy or in my fandom, if I'm overreacting at all. And I'm overreacting today, ladies and gentlemen. But I think I felt that the Bills matched up pretty well. This defense is for real. I don't care if they've beaten a winning team or not. This defense is for real. And we're coming off of a football game against the number four defense in the NFL where our Buffalo Bills put up 20 points. So I knew in my gut, I knew from paper and I knew in my gut, right, that the Bills clearly had a chance. Not to mention we live in a world of any given Sunday or Thursday. Josh Allen has been growing. There's numbers out there to prove it, even though the world just found out last night. But even with any statistical evidence that I had, and you know me, I'm a firm believer in statistics only matter until they don't. Even with the narratives that are getting squashed out there, even with what I've seen, even with what everything that we've watched and witnessed, I've still got a little bit of PTSD for what I've come to expect from our football team on the national stage. And our Buffalo Bills went in there last night and not only punched the Dallas Cowboys back in the face and knocked them out, but they punched the national media in the face too. They made a statement last night. That's one of the things that I'm overreacting to, and I don't want to get ahead in my actual notes because I have notes this time, unlike Sunday's game when I was in Kansas City in the airport, which I liked. I liked the feel of being in the public. I liked, as much as I'm a former recording artist and I have a bunch of recording equipment, like I'm sitting here looking at a giant rack of which I'm using none of. I'm using a USB microphone just plugged into my laptop with a little bit of compression on it. So I like controlled environments. I love the background noise and just kind of the action inside of the microphone. It was kind of cool. But I sit here this morning stunned, a little, it's just surreal. Like, I tweeted last night, I feel like on Twitter, the Bills just won the Super Bowl. It was like Christmas night, Christmas Eve, like the entire family was in bed and nobody was fighting. Nobody on Twitter was fighting last night. Bills fans were collectively in love with what they saw. Like, nobody really had anything to complain about. And if people did have a thing to complain about, we were seeing apologies. Apologies. I'm sorry I didn't realize how good Josh Allen was. I'm sorry that I wasn't a believer. I'm sorry that I didn't trust in what I saw. I'm sorry that I wasn't trusting the pro. Like, this whole thing is surreal, right? It's like, yeah, I had a drink or two last night, but it's like, am I drunk? No. I'm definitely not drunk. So I'm just, I don't want to say beside myself. I'm just relishing in this moment. And the hardest part with all of it is the fact that, like, the work is not done. You know, Kyle Brandt said it this morning on Good Morning Football. You know, you enjoy it. Crowd surf for 24 hours, and then it's time to get right back on the horse. Got to go back to work. But man, I'm enjoying this. I'm really, really enjoying this. So a couple things I want to hit, and I've got some interesting stuff, and there's something that I want to get into a little bit that I think is confusing for a lot of us, and it's an area that's getting cherry-picked, I feel, and has been for a little bit of time regarding Josh Allen. But this team is no longer winning ugly. That's a big statement that this team is no. It was just a couple weeks ago. Micah Hyde is like standing in front of cameras and microphones and bright lights in the locker room after winning. And people are complaining. The press, they're complaining to him about the way they're winning. And he says, I'm not going to apologize for us winning ugly. And he was right. We just had to accept it. Like, this is who they are. And if they're going to win ugly, then they're going to lose ugly. So I'm going to have to accept that too, that they're just an ugly football team. But this team is no longer winning ugly. They look like a competent, well-coached, talented football team. I don't know if you're like me, but there's many times that I watch a lot of football. And this year, my passion has been renewed. There was several years where I was beginning to wane on fantasy football, and like I had stopped watching certain games, you know, and if I got to the Thursday night game or the Monday night game, then great. You know, I wasn't what I would call fully bought into the NFL experience. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of that had to do with just where the Bills were at and where the Bills had been for two decades. But when I watch football games and I watch certain football teams, there's a way that they execute plays. And there's a way that they look when they're on television. And certain teams, it's like the Ravens. The Ravens, it was on whatever Sunday night or Monday night, whatever night the Ravens played this past week, they just jumped off the TV screen. It was obvious that that is a well-coached, incredibly talented football team. And it just seemed for so many years, and even it just seemed like for a very long time that our Buffalo Bills just didn't have that look. If they did win, they won ugly. It seemed like there was never guys running wide open. The concepts were okay, and they worked at times, but it was never enough to carry us, obviously, through to winning seasons, as the Bills have now just had their fourth 9-win season in 20 years. If the offense was good, the defense was bad. If the defense was really good, the offense was bad. They could just never figure it out. They could never luck into it. I remember Jeremy White saying, it was a couple years ago, and I was still in Ohio at the time, and I was listening to the morning show while I was working out. And Jeremy White said, you know, at some point you're accidentally good enough to make it into the playoffs. And this was before the drought had been busted. And he's right. At some point in time, you're just accidentally good enough to luck your way into the playoffs. And the Bills just never seem to be that team. They never seem to be able to stick it together, to put it together, to play refined, like a grown man's version of football. It was always the blue collar, we're going to punch you in the mouth thing ever since the 90s when they were a very finesse elite team. But this team is beginning to put, they're beginning to put stuff together. They're beginning to, they, the offensive identity thing. I made fun of Josh Allen, whatever it was, a couple weeks ago after, I think it was the Miami game, after the Browns game, when he said, you know, we have, we're beginning to develop an offensive identity. And that offensive identity, in his words, were whatever it takes. And when he said that, I made fun of him a little bit because, and I told you guys on the show, that whatever it takes is not an offensive identity. That's just not. Like there's never going to be a world where the title of, oh, the big bad San Francisco 49ers and their whatever it takes offense, like, or the Buffalo Bills, the 2019 and 2020 Buffalo Bills. Like, you're not going to hear that in 15 years on NFL films. The 2019 Buffalo Bills and their whatever it takes offense. Like, that's not a thing, Josh. But I think it might be a thing. And the thing that I think it is I think that offense is starting to, it's beginning to show signs of running specifically through Josh Allen and his talent level and the football player that Josh Allen is. And it's hard to identify, it's hard to quantify, it's hard to really nail down what you would term that as. But what I would give it to you as, and the way that I would present it, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but when you think about certain great quarterbacks and how they are the ones who will games to win, and obviously the first one would be Tom Brady, but there's others, Brett Favre. We mention these guys a lot because we still don't know what Josh Allen's ceiling is. Obviously, the Buffalo Bills with Jim Kelly had an identity as an offense, but Dan Marino didn't. John Elway didn't. They were just, the offensive identity was, an aspect or a derivative of whatever it takes for the quarterback to win. So even when I hear that now, and I'm beginning to see 3 games later what whatever it takes looks like, I'm not making fun of Josh Allen anymore, because he might be onto something. Because it just seems like the Bills' identity goes through Josh Allen wholly. Whether it's good or bad, we are entering that stage, that phase of Josh Allen's development where our game and how this offense executes is going to solely rely and rest on who he is on game day in that particular situation. Which, I'll be honest with you, is really encouraging and scary at the same time. And the reason that it's really encouraging is because we don't know what his ceiling is yet. And the reason that it's really scary is because we don't know what his ceiling is yet. This could work out tremendously great for the Buffalo Bills if Josh Allen is everything that we saw last night plus some. Everything that we want him to be and more. But if Josh Allen, if somebody finds out how to beat him, if somebody finds out, writes a book on him, how to defend him, how to confuse him, basically unravel his success, which we have seen defensive coordinators do to elite quarterbacks and great or ascending quarterbacks in the past. If we see that happen, it's going to be bad for the Buffalo Bills. Right now, we are flying by the seat of our pants, and man, what a wagon to be on, right? Woof. Interesting thing from last night's game. So just a couple quick points. Josh Allen had the first 15-yard plus touchdown run in that game last night in Dallas on Thanksgiving since. So he had the longest rushing touchdown for a quarterback on Thanksgiving in Dallas since Jim Kelly. you can't make this stuff up. Like, okay. I don't think the Bills didn't win that game, but that's just a weird, crazy, strange statistic. They said it on the broadcast last night. I don't know how many of you caught it. That's just weird to me. Josh Allen has just extended the longest current 2-touchdown plus game in, or I should say he's accounting for 2 or more touchdowns in every single game, whether it's through passing or rushing. He just extended that lead from 7 to 8, which means he has now broken Jim Kelly's record. Jim Kelly's was 7 games in a row. Last week at 7, he was number 1 in the NFL, and now he has just extended that record, or that lead, that consecutive streak to 8, which puts him way out in front. And, oh, by the way, has broken one of Jim Kelly's records as a Buffalo Bill. In those games, he has thrown 13 touchdowns, and he has 1 interception. 8 games. He's rushed for 5 touchdowns. He leads the NFL for quarterbacks right now with 8 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. He has 8 rushing touchdowns, and I can't remember where I saw this stat. I don't know if it's in my notes or not. Hang on. He has rushed for, according to ESPN Stats and Info, Allen is only the 4th quarterback since the 1970 merger to have multiple years with 8 rushing touchdowns. He joins Cam Newton, who did it 3 times, Mike Vick 2 times, Steve McNair 2 times. Allen and Newton both accomplished that feat in each of their first 2 seasons. What is going on? What is going on down there? I mean, it's one thing to be excited about, to see progression last year. We can back up even further. And by the way, this show is showing no signs of ending soon. I'm 28 minutes in, and I'm barely through 1 page of my notes, and I got 4 pages. If you back up to when Josh Allen got drafted, I have been vocal and honest and told you I didn't want him. I wanted Josh Rosen. Clearly, it would have been great to have Darnold or Baker, pipe dream, knowing where we were drafting. We were never getting into that world. I did not want Lamar Jackson. I was buying into, just as I was with Josh Allen, everything that I was reading and what I was studying and people saying that he would be better suited as a wide receiver. Super gifted, super talented, can throw the ball, but should be a wide receiver. I was down on Josh Allen. Like, when they drafted Josh Allen, I remember being frustrated. Josh Rosen is sitting there. Josh Rosen is NFL ready. Came from a pro offense. Why do you take the project? I don't want to wait 3 years. I don't want to wait 4 years for a kid to grow up. I don't want to spend his entire rookie season with him on the bench. But the Bills took Josh Allen. And then just to watch him progress. So he starts, Peterman comes in, then Josh comes in, and Josh isn't great. He's actually bad. Gets injured. Comes back. And like, had learned some stuff while he was out for a couple weeks. Oh, okay. Kid's teachable. Okay. Matt Barkley, if you remember in that time, blew up the Jets. It's like, where did this kid come from? He was out of the NFL the year before that. Josh Allen finishes the season with some progression, puts together some nice games, has that game against the Dolphins. Does anybody else love the fact that Josh Allen owns the Miami Dolphins? Like, they should make him a part owner right now because the dude owns the Miami Dolphins. But he had that game against the Dolphins. I think he had five touchdowns, accounted for five touchdowns. Come into this season, and you know, you hear the things from Jordan Palmer, you hear the things from Trent Dilfer, and you hear all the offseason stuff and all the offseason talk and what he's been working on, and then he comes out in the preseason, and it's like, oh, okay. That stuff isn't fake. Like, he literally did learn how to throw with anticipation. He literally did work the entire offseason on his short and intermediate passing and his touch throws. All right. Then the season starts. And we see him ebb and flow, and we see him struggle, and we see him work through problems, but learn and continue to progress and continue to grow. We see him throw three interceptions against the Patriots in a game that he looked completely lost in. Totally in his head. And then we see him just begin to stack games. Stack games. Stack games. To the point where we are now, where he comes out on the national stage and that's what's up. Hello, world. So I want to break down some of his stats real quick because certain things have gotten cherry-picked. And there's a story to be told. And keeping in mind, stats are only relevant until they're not. But I want to break into something that's always been a little bit confusing for me. And I'm not going to get super scientific and super into it. I just want to talk through the season. And I want to talk through the story that's being written. And that story is going to start for me with just where Josh Allen is on stats, and then I want to fall into the last bastion of cherry picking that's being done against Josh Allen outside of, well, I need to see him beat the Ravens and the Patriots, because it's one of two things right now. It's I need to see him beat the Ravens or the Patriots, or his QBR is awful. So we're going to talk about QBR real quick. So I'm going to try to get through these, so hang with me if you can. So last night, in last night's football game, on a national stage, the only football game on in America, on a day where there's almost nobody is working, 30 million viewers. It does there's pretty much only one game bigger than that game. And you know what that game is. Starts with an S, ends an L. B in the middle. Think Giant Bowl. In that game last night, Josh Allen was 19 to 24, almost 80% completions, 231 yards. He had one throwing touchdown, and I know you know this stuff. He had a quarterback rating of 120.7. He had a rushing touchdown. I can't remember how many rushing yards he had. His QBR was 82.3. 82.3. And QBR is that one thing that ESPN, I'm going to read the definition of QBR here in a second, because it's a weird cherry-picked, funny, made-up stat. That if you Google it, like it even says that a lot of people don't agree with it. I understand the premise and the concept of it, and it's a nerd's game. But Josh Allen is the antithesis of that. I'm going to prove that to you here in a second. So on the season, so I just gave you the game stats from last night. On the season, Josh Allen is at 61.5%. Chris Parker, the Bulldog on WGR55, said that Josh Allen, before the season started, Josh Allen will never be that guy. He'll never be that high completion percentage guy. Trent Dilfer, before the season started, pushed back, and this video has begun to surface since last night, where he's literally talking to Rich Eisen and saying, why is completion percentage even a thing connected to accuracy for a quarterback? Because as an NFL quarterback, which Trent Dilfer was, not a great one, but he was one, for him, there's a giant disconnect between accuracy and completion percentage because so many other things go into accuracy, to include processing, decisions, ball placement, route, a myriad of things. Which, by the way, Josh Allen has improved in all of those things. And this isn't in my notes, but I've hammered on it a little bit, and there's still people out there that don't think it's true. Josh Allen goes through his reads, goes through his progressions, and is processing the game well. The decisions he's currently making in games, last night included, are the right decisions and are incredible decisions. He was impressive last night. He had a couple throws again last night that there's one or two other quarterbacks in this league can make. Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. That's about it. You're not watching Carson Wentz or Jared Goff or Baker Mayfield make some of the throws that Josh Allen's making in these games right now. On the season, 61.5% completions. He's got 2,591 yards. We're 12 games in. 16 throwing touchdowns. What I don't have are his interceptions. Why don't I have his interceptions? 2 seconds. I got them for you here. 2 seconds. Josh Allen. Interceptions on the season, he's got 8 total. 3 in one game. 12 games in, he's thrown 8 interceptions, 3 of those in one game. He has an 88 quarterback rating for the season currently. His season QBR, 47.8. Hang on, I'm going to get a sip of coffee. His season QBR is 47.8. Which puts him, he's up 2 spots since last week. So as of last night, he's 47.8, which puts him at 24th in the NFL. And this is the thing that's happening. So this is the thing that people are now cherry picking. Oh, sure. He's winning games, sure. He's 9-3. I think he's 11-4 lifetime in his career in the NFL now, or in his last 15 games or whatever it is. Sure. But have you seen his QBR? Have you seen his QBR? Because it's pretty bad. In fact, you could make a case that he's probably one of the worst quarterbacks in the league because of his QBR. And then all of us are like, well, what the heck is that? QBR? What's QBR? Well, I'm going to tell you what QBR is. I'm going to read it to you, if I can find it. Total quarterback rating, QBR, total quarterback rating, is a proprietary statistic created by ESPN in 2011 to measure the performance of quarterbacks in the American football, or in American football. It incorporates all of a quarterback's contributions to winning, including how he impacts the game on passes, rushes, turnovers, and penalties. Since QBR is built from the play level, it accounts for a team's level of success or failure on every play to provide the proper context, then allocates credit to the quarterback and his teammates to produce a clearer measure of quarterback efficiency. It was created to be more of a meaningful alternative to the passer rating, but has been met with criticism among fans and commentators alike. So QBR is a measuring stick that's meant to take all of a quarterback's contributions to a football game, put them into a soup, and then come out with a number. How he runs, when he gets sacked, the ball placement. I think there's some decision-making stuff in there. Blah, 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 blah. And it says in there, and what's interesting is if you check the QBR ratings, and it even said allocates credit to the quarterback and his teammates to produce a clear measure of quarterback efficiency. It also takes away points. So this is one of those things, they're weighting it. That's the easiest way for me to say it. So it's weighted. So if you've ever played, and I never have, Dungeons and Dragons or any of these role-playing games, certain players or characters, like they get weighted points or they get negative. So in certain areas, they're a negative in defense or they're a positive in attack or they're whatever. So it's an arbitrary, mystical, fantasy statistic sometimes. And yes, it has some relevance, but basically they're weighting it positive. And oh, by the way, they weight it negative as well, just like PFF does. PFF came out beginning of the season and said, we have run thousands of simulations. There are none where the Buffalo Bills make the playoffs with Josh Allen as the quarterback. And then it came out about 4 weeks ago that they weight certain teams. So the Patriots start out stronger than the Bills. They don't start at zero. It's not a new season. They don't start at zero. They start out Patriots, Tom Brady weighted heavy because Tom Brady's on the team. Buffalo Bills weighted negatively because Josh Allen is on the team. Let's run the simulations. Oh, what do you know? The Bills, no chance of ever making the playoffs with Josh Allen as the quarterback. Meanwhile, we sit here at 9-3, 12 games in, week 13, and the Bills are 92% to make the playoffs. And Josh Allen's crushing it. Clearly, they can't wait in Josh Allen growth. But I think we would all agree that they probably don't even want to. So QBR. So let's break this down real quick. Again, I'm learning all this recently. So like I've not been a QBR guy. I'm just getting tired of it getting thrown in my face and me not having the ability to defend it. So I'm going to give you the tools, the ability to defend it if you see it on social media, Twitter, Facebook, wherever. I apologize. I shouldn't have been drinking coffee just now. Now I'm burping. So yeah, that's what happens when you just record a show. And you don't edit it. You get all the real stuff. So that's where I'm at. QBR. 8 rushing touchdowns, leads the league. QBR is supposed to take into account rushing touchdowns, which I think it does. Who knows how much it weights it. He has a QBR in the season of 47.8. He moved up 2 spots to 24 from 26 last week because of last night. Last night, his QBR was 82.3. That's a big number. That is a big number. 82.3 against the Cowboys. Since the Browns game, so the Dolphins game, the Broncos game, and the Cowboys game, Josh Allen has a combined average QBR of 78. He's 47.8 on the season. 47.8 on the season, all games combined, to put him at 24. On the list, behind pretty much everybody. Worst quarterback in football. Oh, but have you seen his QBR? Have you seen his QBR? 78 QBR since the Browns game. That does not include the Browns game. That's since the Browns game. Since the Patriots game, where he threw 3 interceptions. Since the Patriots game, which was week 5 or 6, he's 55.5 since the Patriots game. So now we're talking about a bunch of games behind him. Like, what, 8 games, 7 games that he's put in since the Patriots game? Which was, by the way, his lowest QBR week. I think it was the 12 or something. 47.8 on the season right now. You want to talk about a cherry-picked stat. This is a cherry-picked, move-the-goalposts stack if there has ever been one. 47.8 on the season, 82.3 against the Cowboys, 78 since the Browns game, 55.5 since the Patriots game. He has a 54.8 QBR if you throw out the 2 lowest QBR games of the season. So if you take all of his games combined, all 12, 47.8. You throw out the 21.8 he had against the Eagles. And I think it's an 18.3. So maybe it was 18.3 against the Patriots. So that might not be his lowest one. Hang on a second. I can tell you what his lowest one was. 2 seconds. His lowest QBR was an 18.3. Yes, that was against the Patriots. So if you take his total QBR, 47.8, and you throw out across all the games, 21.8 against the Eagles in a hurricane, 50-mile-an-hour wind game in an open-air stadium with a pass-heavy game plan. Thank you, Brian Daboll. And you throw out the game where he had 3 interceptions and was completely playing not like he was playing in he was just not good that game, which is going to happen. Throughout the 21.8, throughout the 18.3, on the season, he's at 54.8. 47.8 on the season currently. I'm going to say it again so you understand it. 47.8 on the season currently. All of his games taken into consideration. Last night he was 82.3 against the Cowboys. He averaged 78 since the Browns game, 55.5 since the Patriots game, and if you take out his 2 lowest games, which were both losses, he's at 54.8 for the season, which puts him, you ready, number 15, right behind Tom Brady. And I'm not telling you that because I'm telling you that him being right next to Tom Brady is great because Tom Brady is having a not great year. I'm telling you that because the way that this is reading is you're watching a quarterback progress, get better, learn from his mistakes, and is growing. The story of Josh Allen in 2019 is that if you want to cherry pick QBR, is the fact that he was not great early and then has been growing since that Browns game. So we talk about it all the time. I've said it twice already on this show. Stats only matter until they don't. Josh Allen has 6 games with a QBR under 50. This is where stats matter until they don't. Josh Allen, I'm gonna say it again. Josh Allen has 6 games this season, 9-3. QBR on the season of 47.8. On the season, 47.8. He has 6 games this year where he is below a QBR of 50. In a season where he has 6 games in it with a QBR below 50, he's 4-2 in those football games. There's the moment where the stats don't matter. Josh Allen has 6 games below 50, 3 of which are below 30. And in those 6 games, he's 4-2. He's averaged 17 points a game. All 6 were in the first 7 games of the season. Stats only matter until they don't matter. So when somebody comes at you with this QBR argument about how Josh Allen isn't good because his QBR is bad, he's only 24th in the NFL in QBR, you begin to ask them pointed questions. Well, what was he against the Cowboys?
Well, that was only 1 game.
Well, what's he been since the Browns game? 78 QBR.
Well, that's because they're going to start running out of excuses. He played the Broncos and the Dolphins.
Well, yep, he did. He also played the Cowboys. And the Broncos, by the way, are the number 4 pass defense in the NFL. What's he been since the Patriots game? Start asking them pointed questions so they can begin to discover these answers for themselves instead of using a weaponized, generic, ridiculous stat. And then you can land the plane right here. How many games has he been under 50? Mr. Whoever you are on Twitter, slamming my quarterback. How many games has he been under a 50 QBR?
6.
Gotcha. What was your record in those 6 games?
4-2.
Okay. Sounds good. And you can literally drop the microphone right there. You can just walk away. Like, you're done. Because he's done. So QBR, which is already somewhat of a made-up stat since 2011, that is not widely accepted by anybody outside of ESPN, doesn't even tell the whole story of Josh Allen when you look at that 47.8 number. Now, the good news is I have great expectation that he's probably going to finish. He'll probably finish around 55 this year. And I think the potential is unlimited for where he's going to finish or end up next year. I think there's great opportunity for Josh. So that's my QBR rant. I'm running out of time. I guess I could sit here and talk forever. I just can't stand it when podcasts are over an hour and we're approaching that moment. So I just real quick want to give you, actually before that, I'm going to read some tweets for you. I have a couple. As I'm navigating to my phone, this is the worst. I'm horrible. I'm horrible at having this thing set up, this show set up. I apologize, everybody. So I apologize to all of you. So I sent a quick tweet out today just asking what, you know, how everybody's feeling after they're waking up. And I got three here I want to read to you. So Joey V2988 says, "We played great. We coached great. We did awesome. That is where I am." So my question was, or this was my tweet this morning, waking up on an amazing victory Friday after the Bills showed out on the national stage, putting my notes together for the show. Opinions are changing and have changed. Where are you at? What are you overreacting to? Most excited about, concerned about? Let's talk. Joey V says to me, "We played great. We coached great. We did awesome." And that's where I'm at. He said, "I'm overreacting to people writing about how badly the Cowboys played before they talk about how great the Bills played, in particular at the Nick Shook. Most excited about Josh Allen and Sean McDermott." And that's true. And, you know, I kind of expected it. And I watched Good Morning Football yesterday, and it's probably good that I did, because I don't know how many of you watch that show. I watch it all the time, almost religiously. It's my two favorite characters, and just the way that they do things are well. But Pete Schrager said yesterday, before the Bills game on Good Morning Football, that it doesn't matter how good the Bills play. The Bills could drub the Cowboys 30-10, and we're still going to talk about the Cowboys because it's the Cowboys. And he was right. So it kind of prepped me for that. But yeah, that's very much annoying. Dave at GoBillsUK. "I'm just in a really happy place. Even Hauschka isn't worrying me, as there's no one better available." And he's right. There's nobody out there that I can think of anyway, is what he said. "We're building momentum at the right time and still staying under the radar. All the talk is about a bad Dallas team, not a good Bills team. Keep underestimating us." I love that take. I love that take, Dave. Last one, at Saxa Dave, Dave Thorpe. "Victory Friday is where I'm at, 9-3 for the first time since 1996. The first time this century. I'm overreacting to all the huge plays we executed on both sides of the ball during prime time. I'm super excited for the playoffs." He's got the praying hands. Well, I guess it could be high five hands. "And I'm a little concerned too." I think it's praying hands. "Also a tad concerned for the Ravens. But after yesterday, I guarantee they'll be as concerned about facing the Bills in Buffalo." And he's right. Super duper right. So those are the tweets that I got. All great takes. Super great takes. I love hearing from you guys. For me, real quick, I'm going to hit these things fast. So what I'm overreacting to today, I'm going to wrap this up as fast as I can. I believe the very first thing I'm overreacting to is the Browns game. How can you be overreacting to the Browns game? The Browns game happened weeks ago. I'm overreacting to the Browns game. Because to me, the Bills had to lose the Browns game. As much as I would love to have that Browns game back, as much as I beat them down for the game plan and not being prepared and not being accountable to each other and not fixing the things that they said that they were going to be fixing, to me, they had to lose that Browns game to find out who they were. So, like, imagine when you were little and you've seen it, not little, younger. When you were younger, there was that one person that you were in love with, or that one job that you had that you loved, and that person broke up with you or you got fired, and you had to go through that time. You had to be dumped to discover who it was you were and what it was you wanted. To me, that's what that Browns game was. I think if the Bills played the Browns again today or tomorrow, they'd thump them. But the Bills had to go through that game. They had to lose that game to bring an identification or an identity to who they were and who they were going to be going forward. That's when everything changed for the Bills. Everything changed after that Browns game. The QBR stuff I was talking to you about, the identity, the offense that I was talking about, all that stuff began to change or changed right after the Browns game. As much as I want that game back, like I said, It was necessary. We needed to lose that game. Since the Browns game, the Bills are averaging 27.6 points per game. Before the Browns game, the Bills were averaging 19 points per game. Why does that matter? Outside of the obvious, more points means you have a better chance to win. The reason that matters is because of this defense. This defense is only giving up 15 points per game on the entire season. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't need to stress or to like break down for you the reality that if you can score 27 points in a football game and you can hold the other team to 15, you're going to win a lot of ball games. This team is peaking at the right time. We talked about that. We have a difficult schedule coming up, but they're believing in themselves. They're growing in an identity. They've got a quarterback on the rise. They've got a rookie, which is my next overreaction, a rookie in Ed Oliver, who is coming into himself. He's had four sacks in the last three games, one pass defended, one forced fumble. The dude is becoming a force. The strip sack that he had on Dak yesterday, he was being held the whole way. By the way, it was really awesome that we had to play the Cowboys, the national media, and the referees yesterday. What a ridiculous... That was one of the worst called football games I've ever seen, but I digress. I'm overreacting to Ed Oliver. This kid, he said last night in his press conference, and I'm paraphrasing because I couldn't find the interview, "I told you when I start to put it all together and figure it out, y'all better watch out." And that's literally where Ed Oliver is. He's beginning to figure it out. The last thing that I'm overreacting to is just that game last night. Man, was that a statement game. And it's funny to me because it's being downplayed by Josh Allen. It's being downplayed by Sean McDermott and everybody. Oh, it was just one number nine. Oh, that was what you watch the reaction of the Bills inside that locker room when Cole Beasley enters it. It was not just another win. You listen to what some of these guys are saying. Jordan Phillips last night, "We put the world on notice. We were the worst 8-3 team in football," according to people. Their O-line, their offensive line, the Cowboys' offensive line. That's all you guys were talking about. You hyped it up all week. Look what we did to them. Jerry Hughes, "No one picked us to win." He was almost emotional in that moment. Like, I don't think he was crying, but he just seemed emotional to me in that moment. "No one picked us to win." It was across the board. ESPN, all picked the Cowboys. NFL Network, all picked the Cowboys. CBS, all picked the Cowboys. Everybody picked the Cowboys. "No one picked us to win this morning. We cannot control what you guys want to talk about. You guys talk. We play football." Man, that game last night, unbelievable. I talked about it a little bit ago, and I'm going to say it again. I tweeted last night that Twitter last night felt like the Bills had just won the Super Bowl. It was incredible. We got a lot to be thankful for. We just have a lot to be excited about, even with the rest of our schedule. This Bills team is going to the playoffs. I can't wait to see who we meet in the first round, because if we don't meet somebody really good, this defense is going to shut whoever it is we're meeting down, and we're going to have the potential to put some points on them. There's cool words being used about this football team in that game last night. One of those phrases is franchise-altering, that was a franchise-altering win. Yeah, it may have been. The Bills are getting run, good run, on all national media platforms. All national media platforms. Soak it in, Bills Mafia. Soak it in. Got a couple days off. We get to enjoy this weekend. Best Thanksgiving ever. Thank you, Terry and Kim Pegula. Best Thanksgiving ever. And then we've got an amazingly crazy hard road game, or I should say home game, next week with a road team coming in the Ravens, who dismantled the 49ers in their own... No, not the 49ers. Who'd they dismantle? The Chargers, right? Whoever it was that they played last week, they dismantled them on the road. It's going to be a tough game. But we could get some help. There's still a chance. There is a small window that the Bills could win the AFC East. All we need is for the Patriots to go on a little bit of a slide, which is possible. And all we need is that 49ers defense to give us a peek into how to beat Lamar Jackson this weekend. Those are the two games you should be watching this weekend. The Ravens and the 49ers. and the Patriots and the Texans. Got a lot of great things to look forward to. I can't wait to see how the season unfolds. It's going to be a fun ride. It's going to be a fun ride. Thank you guys for joining me. This has been the Overreaction Sports Podcast. This was an Overreaction Friday. I love you guys. I thank you guys so much for listening to me. Once again, I'm your host, Joe Miller. You can find me at Joe Miller Wired. As always, guys, go Bills.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Walmart has Straight Talk Wireless, so I can keep doing me. Like hitting up all my friends for a last-minute study sesh. Or curating the best pop playlist you've ever heard in your life. And even editing all my socials to keep up with what's new. Oh yeah, I look good. Post it. Which all in all suits my study poppy main character vibes to a T. Period. Find and shop your fave tech at Walmart.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat. Literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number five, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.